To the YouTube controversy now, Vox journalist Carlos Maza posted a montage of homophobic comments he says right-wing YouTube commentator Steve Crowder made about him over 2 years, and Maza demanded YouTube ban Crowder. Now, we can't play the most vile part, but a warning, the following snippet is still vile.
You, by the way, the gay Mexican guy.
The gay Latino V-neck.
Gay Mexican. Or Mexican gay guy used to work. Mexican gay Latino there at Vox. Gay Latino from Vox.
The token Vox gay atheist sprite.
Commentator Steve Crowder. Now, YouTube declined to ban him as Vox journalist Carlos Maza demanded, but yesterday said they'd cut off revenue from his channel. Crowder had been selling homophobic T-shirts, among other things. He says these are jokes and he's being censored. YouTube says they're a platform, like a phone company, not a publisher, like a newspaper. Oh, and did we mention it's Pride Month? And YouTube just announced a plan to block extremist language. NPR media critic David Folkenflik is here. David, your thoughts?
Well, it reminds me a little bit when I was a kid going to the Grand Canyon. You'd go down into the canyon, you'd see these paths go, and they'd switch back and forth and back and forth. YouTube initially responded to Carlos Maza's angry tweets that collected all this stuff and played far much worse vitriol than what you're able to play on today's show. And they said, look, this is hateful. This is offensive, objectionable material, but doesn't violate our policies. We're a platform. We err very strongly on the form of free speech. Well, as he brought up pressure, as other journalists looked at it, as a lot of them teased out inconsistencies in the way in which YouTube had enacted its policies, YouTube said, we're going to demonetize him. And then they came out and said they're really going to review their harassment policies once more under increasing pressure and scrutiny, and basically sought ways to dampen Crowder's ability for the moment to amplify his message.
Well, you say for the moment because do we understand that YouTube is also saying that he might be able to monetize again if, for instance, he's not selling vile, hateful T-shirts?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening. They're saying this is the specific activity that we're going to hang our hat on. Although there were, in their latest notes about this, there were some indications that there were some unspecified issues he would also have to resolve.
Yeah, look, Crowder gave a satirical apology, then put out his own montage with left-wing comedians using off-color comedy about political figures. You know, Crowder says, if you block me, you'll have to block Stephen Colbert or Samantha Bee. But doesn't this take us to the conversation that we're also having about Facebook and, you know, other companies that are self-regulating speech? I mean, you have Mark Zuckerberg decide, I'm going to take something off Facebook, but it's still Mark Zuckerberg deciding. I mean, is this part of the broader conversation about should there be some sort of regulation here?
It is, and it's complicated because if you treat it like a platform, the company is not responsible for what happens on there. A guy like Carlos Maza looks at it and says, look, I'm not just upset that this guy is saying hateful things about me. He's encouraged his followers effectively to unleash waves of vitriol against me, sort of very abusive, hateful speech, and also doxed him, that is, published personal identifying material like his phone number. Steven Crowder's fans were texting him really abusive things as well. On the other hand, if you get into the habit of particularly using algorithms, artificial intelligence to knock out hateful and abusive speech, sometimes a lot of other speech gets caught up in that. Yeah. Certain kinds of postings that may be addressing hateful speech. So these are complicated things. And the question is, do you trust major private entities to make those choices? The federal regulators step in, then it'll be lawmakers who decide that and regulators who decide that. And there are ways in which that can work and there are ways in which that can be very problematic.
Right. It just strikes me as so interesting that if somebody were to come up, you know, to their next door neighbor and scream some of these things to their face, some of these vile homophobic things, you could call the police. That would be harassment. But you can scream at someone through social media, or at least that's what we're seeing here. And it's happening during Pride Month. YouTube has produced LGBTQ content. It's used plenty of rainbow flags in its marketing. Does Maza have a point that, hey, you're benefiting from us while you're not protecting us?
It certainly seems to have stirred him to act publicly on this now. He said this hypocrisy is too much for him to bear. And I think that, you know, people inside Google seem to have given indications that they've been troubled by the dissonance. You know, Facebook at times has acted to allow people to continue to post but made it very hard for their work to be shared. Crowder had a very popular and has a very popular channel. So it's not only being viewed by a ton of people, but being shared by a ton of people. So there are ways and gradations in which things could be done. I think there's a question also going on is, should YouTube treat people differently given the size of their routine audience? If somebody's mouthing off to 30 people, is it different than somebody mouthing off to 3 million?
Or 4 million, which is Crowder's case. And some people say he'll be more popular now because they have cut off his revenue stream for now, and yet he gets to keep his channel and claim to be a victim. So he may have even more followers.
Well, the victimization thing has always been a popular card to play for people who are under duress. I will say that folks who have been highlighted and singled out as extremely offensive, people who have been dropped from Twitter, for example, that is called deplatforming. And while I'm not necessarily advocating it or going against it, I've got to say that has been effective in dampening the audience that they reach. A guy like Milo Yiannopoulos, who for a while was able to make quite a splash at Breitbart, and afterward, when he was dropped from a couple of major social media platforms, he really kind of vanished from sight.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, we will follow this story with you. Thank you.
You bet.